Hemshech Ayin Beis, Volume 1. So we've been reviewing in different directions the first 126 chapters. I want to sum it up and continue on. So basically, to sum up, there were three meanings to explain the idea how there could be spheres in the Eir HaBligvul. How could there be spheres which seemingly connote structure in the transcendent and infinite energy? Finite and infinite are opposites. So the Rebbe Rashab explained three meanings in the word spheres. That the word sphere has the meaning of number. That's clearly structure. Within the number, there's also a deeper dimension that the number leads you to realize the quality. So you can just count something and you can appreciate the quality of the number. The second meaning was from the word story. So a story too is a revelation. But it reveals also hidden thoughts, as he brought from the Pardes. And the third and the highest meaning in spheres is from the word brightness, behirus, spheres and behirus, evan sapir, transparency. And this, he explained in itself, is already, now we're talking about revealing. Its main force is revealing. In the story and the number, they focus also, there's a definition involved. And here you're talking about primarily revealing. And this itself, the containers reveal the energies. The energies reveal the source of their energy. And the energy, the source of the energy, ultimately reveals even the bligvul. To the point that ultimately the highest level of revelation is the one that's not in any way confined or contained by any container. So energy becomes the real revealer. So therefore, this sphere is in energy. And energy itself, we've learned that there's the finite energy that God uses to define the existence that manifests in containers. And you have infinite energy or transcendent energy that remains above. It's the desire for existence. And there too now, where is the primary element of spheres? So we say, are there spheres in belief? Well, absolutely. The element of behirus, of clarity, of transparency, of brightness, is on the contrary. The place where it's most is in the Eir HaBligvul, because the Eir HaBligvul is the unfettered expression of the divine. So there's a level where God doesn't even, is beyond altogether expression. We say Etzem HaEir, what we call the Hoid, Atik, is beyond expression. But when he expresses himself, in a world of expression, how would the expression be? It would be unfettered, it would be unlimited. So where is the ultimate behirus? The greatest clarity is in Eir HaGvul or Eir HaBligvul. Much more in Eir HaBligvul, because Eir HaBligvul just reveals everything. So it's endless spheres. So there's a level before revelation. There's a level of revelation that's infinite, unlimited, that's spheres. In that dimension, there's another level that in there it envisions Shir Asmei B'Keach, how to emanate finite energy. Which is also revelation, but it's not going to be as powerful as the unfettered revelation of Bligvul. So we have now is we find spheres all the way up in the Eir. As he explains, there's Etzema Eir, and there's Espastus Eir. And all this is before the Eir HaGvul of the energy in containers. What is it in the levels in the Keser? It's Atik would be Etzema Eir. Arech would be Spashtu Se'er, Hoid and Hodar. And the 10 spheres of Atzilus, starting from Chochmah of Atzilus, is now energies in containers. But to break it even further, explain that in Keser itself, you have all three. You have Pnimius HaKeser, or as he called Keser Shebe Keser, is that that's removed, that's Etzema'er. You have Chochmas Tema'ah in Arich. That is already the level of Espashtus Eir. It's already Chochmas Tema'ah, but it's a concealed reason. There's a reason, but we don't relate to it. We can't identify with it. And then there's the lower levels of Keser, what he called the Zayin Tachtenus of Keser, which is the Midas Amalchus of Keser, that emanates into Chochmah Gluya, which is how their desire connects to a reason that we can relate to. So in Keser itself, we have three things, and these are the three meanings in Keser, that the whole Hemshech, the whole flow, the whole discourse, the whole series is based on. Keser from the word Tarach Amudeir, that Keser is like the 620 pillars. It surrounds all of Atzilus. It means it's already a desire that relates to existence. And existence can relate to it. So it's the lowest level of desire. Meaning the lowest, not the lowest dimension of desire as it relates already to what it desires. So there's a relationship between the two. That's Tarachamud, that's the Machtir. Then there's Kesra, Kesra Torah, that's the head on the head. That's already a crown on the head. It's not surrounding the whole thing. It's above it all. That's like Chochmas Tema. That's the level where the Ratzon is Makif. It has a relationship, but it's still, but it's beyond. And then there's Keser from the word Katarli, Zair, silence. And the Chiddush here is that all these three, even the highest level of Keser, is still not Pnimius Etzem Keser, which is even beyond this highest level, because this highest level is still somewhat has a relationship. It's a relationship, you can't access it, but it still has a relationship, as we discussed. So there's a fourth level, which clearly means like similar like Pnimius Atik. It doesn't say specifically, but that's what it sounds like. Now, what I was struggling with was a contradiction, seemingly, because if you go back all the way to chapter 12, and especially chapter 16, he says clearly there, chapter 15, he says clearly that there's 10 spheres in Atik. And here, he's saying that Atik is beyond spheres, even beyond, forget about 10. Beyond even the meaning of spheres as brightness. So I'm not sure what the answer is. The only thing I can say is that everything is microcosm, macrocosm. In Samach Vav, he speaks in Atik these five levels that I just described. Meaning the level of Yecheles, which is like beyond even the Etzem Ha'er. Then there's the Etzem Ha'er, there's the Spashus Ha'er. And in the Spashtus itself, there's two dimensions, as it revealed to himself, which is like Chochmas Tema, and as it's revealed to the next level, which to others, which is as it begins to become the source for the finite energies. You follow what I'm saying? So we have five levels here. You have a level of Atzmus, which is just the ability, Yechel Telahayr, the ability, Yechelus, to radiate. Then you have Etzem Ha'er, which is beyond, which is already a revelation, but it's one that is completely undefined, like a field of energy, but it's not even revealed to himself. Then there's a state where he's conscious of it. So that's three. Then there's four, right? That's the fourth level. Yechelus, Etzem, Hispashtus to himself, yeah, Gili to another, and then as it comes into the actual 10 hidden spheres. She explains in Samach Vav, in the Maimar B'chukosai, Samach Zayin, that there's five are all in Atik. So clearly there are levels in Atik. Here he's talking in general terms, so Atik is removed and all the levels are lower than Atik, so to speak. So Primius Atik would be like the Yecheles, the ability. The lower levels of Atik would be what he calls here Keser Shebekeser, which is like the Etzem. Then you have Chochmas Tema, that's where his Pashtus Se'er, but it's to himself. And then there's the Pashtus as it is, the lower levels of Keser, which is already beginning to radiate into the revealed, into the finite energy that will enter the containers. And then there's the finite energy in the containers. You follow what I've said?
Yeah.
Okay. So what he says early in chapter, like I said, 12 and 15, there he says Atik has spheres. So clearly there he's talking about Atik as it is, I guess, in the microcosm, not the level of way he's speaking here about Atik in a far more general sense of Etzem Ha'er all the way up in before the Tzimtzum. That's the only way I can explain it, seemingly. But needs more iyun, as they say.
I think instead of the five, you could also say there's two sets of three, but the highest level of the higher set is Atzmos, and you can't even mention it, so only mention five. Everything seems to be able to be...
You can't talk about Atzmos. Atzmos right. is not a level.
Right, so they put the... They put the first group, which would be, if they were able to get good answers, they can't, so they put the two left with the other three. Because it seems like everything's a three. Everything's a three, all through the whole thing. Who is an intermediary?
No, because there he says that the 10 hidden spheres before the Tzimtzum are like Atik to Adam Kadmon. So since they're Atik to Adam Kadmon, that's why they have the root of spheres. But then there's an Atik, that's the Atik that's rooted all the way beyond the 10 hidden spheres. It all is relative, ultimately. You have to say that, that's for sure.
So two extremes and an interface.
I'm just saying, in the case you ever come to this contradiction, yeah. It's clearly that here he's talking about Atik. Earlier, chapter 12, he's talking about Atik as is the root of the 10 hidden spheres. Then it's an Atik and removed from Ak, Adam Kadmon. And then there's Atik as it is in the deepest levels of energy that are completely removed from spheres altogether. That's essentially the two elements here. Now, as I said many times, I think the key is to understand that all these levels are basically stepping stones in the refinement of our understanding and perception and experience of existence to appreciate more subtle levels of it, to the point that the container becomes just simply a seamless, transparent channel to see more, to see higher, instead of it being a force that blocks and a force that doesn't let the flow come through. So all these levels are basically stages in the stepping stone of how we climb from this lowest level to the highest. So bottom line is that we have within Keser now, we've determined that in Keser there is three levels, and essentially there's a certain hiskalos going on, a certain interconnectivity between Gvul and Bligvul, and that's where they meet. And and a little more explanation of it is just one more thing I want to add before we continue on, and that is that there's really two ways to look at this perspective. Back in chapter, I think it was 58 or something like that, he said something very interesting. He said, when you're from the perspective above, everything is equalized. Chapter 59. That when God looks at the spheres, think for a second, when the architect, let's go even further, the cosmic architect looks, the artist that is beyond the spheres, beyond infinite spheres, when he, from his perspective, the artist who has infinite possibilities, looks at his piece of art, what does he see? So there's an element that he sees there that it just doesn't really see the distinctions between another. All it is are expressions of himself. It's only an outsider that looks at it from the outside in, sees details. Now obviously there's an element even from the artist that is also sees details because he created the details and he wants chesed to be chesed. But there's also an aspect that when he looks at it, he sees the whole picture. And we see the pieces of the puzzle. So, if you really want to appreciate the spheres, you have to be able to have both the perspectives. How does the artist look at the details of existence? And how do we look at the details? And then in the artist itself, there's two ways that he sees it. There's how he sees the whole big picture, and the details don't matter. They're just simply expressions of his big picture. And then there's where he applies himself to each specific detail as he produces, creates it. You see what's going on here? So when really when you want to look at this whole thing, you have to look at it, how are we looking at the picture? And how is this creator looking at the picture? And in the crater itself, in the source itself, there's all those levels. Now, essentially, we connect to the Creator, like he said, through Torah and Mitzvahs. So when a person fulfills God's will, they're connecting more to the big picture, to the desire. When someone's studying the reasons for the will, they're connecting to the spheres as that will is envisioning. So they're both will. Like he learned, right? We learned that even the Ratzon, that's Malubish Batam, even the Ratzon, which is the lowest level of Keser, that connects to reasons that we can relate to, it's also fundamentally God's desire. But there's also a relationship with our understanding. So there are details involved. There's kalis, chamuris, there are mitzvahs that are harsher, mitzvahs that are lenient. There's a structure to existence. And God wants both. He doesn't want us to reach a place where all the details don't matter and you just come to white, one big white light. He wants the colors. And he wants the diversity. That's the point there at the Pedachtenim. But he wants us not to be deceived into thinking that the diversity is all there is. He wants us to understand that it's all aligned to a bigger picture. And we have, and to understand that well, you have to also understand that the bigger picture has a point where it doesn't even recognize the details. So these are the levels. There's a level where there's actual spheres, Eres Bekelim, Eir HaGvul, Eser Spheres HaGnuzes, in its root. Then you have how there is Spheres Enkets. It's still spheres. There are details, but the details are now part of an infinite picture. Then there's a state that's not even spheres at all. And then there's a state that's even beyond that. No spheres at all basically means it's only the white light, only energy. That's Atik, like in this case, Hoid. It's also Levush, because it's already Oyer. It's in the category of Oyer, we call Etzem Oyer. Then you have the Spashtus Oyer, the spreading, the extension, but it's only Spashtus himself. So now he's manifest, but it's infinite spheres. Essentially, this is the stage of ultimate Behirus. Spheres from the word Behirus. But because of its completion, it also has it also has the possibility for 10 spheres. But how are the 10 spheres seen on that level? They're seen as a part of an infinite soup of infinite possibilities, quantitatively and qualitatively. And then there comes the third level, or the fourth level in this context, the level where, the lowest level of Keser, where this infinite is now, the artist is now applying himself to the spheres and says, I am now going to envision Shir Atzmeh. He estimates Chachma, Bina, Chesed, Gvura, and so on. But it's still in his desire, still inside Keser. And then it actually manifests when it becomes the actual, either Ten Hidden Spheres, I would say, after the Tzimtzum and the Kav, that will ultimately enter into Atzilus. Or in this case, going from Keser into Atzilus, where Chachma will actually become Chachma and Bina, and so on. Where do we stand? We are at the bottom end of it. This is the top end. That's how it gets into shape and form. We're in the bottom end where we have only, the energy is almost completely concealed and all we have are containers. So you see what's going on here? We have containers and we look for the energy. Here, it's something that's beyond, that's looking for energy and looking for containers. You see the difference? It's a completely different way of looking at it. There, it's beyond all structure, beyond all existence, and then he creates Eir, then he creates Kalim, and then he creates levels in there to enter into those Kalim. And we go backwards. We start with physical world, and we travel backwards to try to find all the levels within it. I hope that was helpful. So now we continue, and this is now chapter 127. This is the Maimer of Asisa. Chag Shavuos.
Why did we take the break? What happened in between? But you guys had
the Shavuos. Well, if you were here to last class, you would. I spoke about it for half an hour. The Rebbe Rashab continued saying Maimorim, but not, they're not part of the Hemshech. They're printed in Sefer Maimorim, Tafresh Ayin Beis, Tafresh Ayin Vav. Rebbe Rashab he would travel in the winter to Europe. That doesn't mean he stopped saying Maimorim. He just, the Hemshech, he didn't continue until he came back to Lubavitch for Shavuos. So this is now Shavuos Ayin Gimel. And now we're ahead of the game. This, it's no longer a century. The century is, the coming Shavuos will be when this Maimor will be 100 years.
Because Sensory will probably catch up to us.
He was not in the Babel Shul Pesach.
What?
He was not in the Babel Shul Pesach.
Excuse me?
He was not in the Babel Shul Pesach.
No. Sometimes he was, not always. Even if he was, sometimes he went back for Pesach, but then he left after Pesach again.
The radio's right here.
When I say he left for 6 months, it doesn't mean he didn't go back to Lubavitch. Could have gone back and forth several times, but he's primarily enjoying traveling. Huh? What?
No, don't get it.
I say he didn't stay away for 6 months.
It's a big trip to go back and forth.
Yeah. Yeah. I just read the talk about the Alter Rebbe. Took the Alter Rebbe said that Liadi, when the war broke out, this was the last months of the Alter Rebbe's life, when the French Franco-Russian war broke out, the Alter Rebbe said he was very despised Napoleon and he fought against Napoleon. So saw Napoleon as being a Lumazet to Kedusha. There was even an expression they said then, the Alter Rebbe said, it's printed in several places, that when the Gedalim of a generation are Shalei Berech to the generation, also the Klippas of the generation are Shalei Berech.
Wow.
Are beyond. And he said it regarding the time of the Baal Shem Tov. So there was in Austria, the Duke of Austria was a big clipper then, a big negative force. And he said it about another period in time. It could be Moshe Rabbeinu. And Alter Rebbe, of course, wouldn't say it about himself, but he did say Napoleon was a big clipper. And he once said that Paris and Liadi are in the same Oifik, the same horizon, they're the same longitude.
Latitude.
The same latitude. And if he was able, the Alter Rebbe said he would shoot him, but the Kader Oritz is mafsik. He says that if he was able to, he would shoot him from the Adi. He would shoot a bullet into Napoleon, but the Kader Oritz, the angle. Is in the way.
The curvature of the earth.
The curvature. Is in the way. So you could bring what that means exactly, but the bottom line is he means basically, I guess, physically means that the curvature of the earth, Elam Hazeh, Chachumi Vagashmi, won't let that happen. So it still gives power to Napoleon, but he had him defeated. Look, they say the Alter Rebbe's life ended prematurely because he gave his life. He said, this is what he said about Napoleon. He says, and so in our generation there's a klipa also, Shalei Berech. He didn't say, and therefore there's a tzaddik also, Shalei Berech. He says, with Ken Zion or Vice Days, it may be that the only way to conquer him is through Mesiris Nefesh Begashmis, which means you have to give your life. So Chassidim, when we said, the Alter Rebbe's life ended because of Napoleon. So he gave his life by having him win that winter. Yeah. That winter. You know, Napoleon, just like Hitler, in his arrogance, thought he can conquer Russia. That winter of 1812, that was the winter when the Alter Rebbe passed away. 200 years ago, this week. Anyway, not all. One, there's one story. The story about
the chauffeur.
There's one. It doesn't say all. It says one person. I don't know about all. Yeah. He gave his life for it, so clearly, but because by the Alter Rebbe, Napoleon, France represented the klippa of the Western world, which was decadence and self-made, the self-made individual. But the Rebbe then later in Tavshin Nun Beis Vayeshev made it very clear that today, we've come to a point of maturity where we could refine even and transform France and the Western world. There's a whole sikha from the Rebbe. It's an unbelievable sikha. Says, times the Alter Rebbe, they were still not mature enough, the Jewish people. And today we are. It's a big chiddush from the Rebbe, this matter. So let's continue here. Vasisa chag shvus l'Hashem l'kecha. Masas nitfus yotcha. Asher titin. It's the mitzvah about keeping chag shvus. Masas nitfus yotcha. Asher titin. The donations from your hand, what you will give to, which is the mitzvah of Bikurim. Masas nitfus yotcha. Of giving of the first fruit. So in Yom Shavuos there was the mitzvah of giving the fruit. V'tzarech l'havin. V'tzarech l'havin, and we have to understand. Ma'u inyan nidvas yotcha. What is the meaning of nidvas yotcha? The donation or the benevolence of your arm. Halei nidivus shaykh el alev. Isn't nidivus when you donate is connected to the heart? Why do we relate it to the hand? And also in Teira, we relate Nedivus. Nedivus is what? Is a form of, I said, benevolence. Nedivus, donating, contributing. To the heart.
Gifting.
Good, yeah, the gifting. Like it says, Kol Nediv Libay, everyone who has a heart of, a kind heart, a giving heart, Yevia will bring. Arm, when you say an arm, a hand, it relates to maisa, to action, to do something. So why does it say, nidvus yotcha? Nidvus yodecha? What's the expression? Nidvus yotcha. Relating the giving, the gifting to the hand, to the arm. And why is this said specifically around Chag HaShavuos? We also have to understand why is it, what is this holiday called in the name Chag HaShavuos, holiday of Shavuos. Halei HaShiva Shavuos Kfar Sipru Mekedem Kfar Sofru Mekedem Sipru Sofru Sofru. Shavuos means weeks. Why would you call a holiday weeks? Isn't it true that the Shiva Shavuos, we already count the 7 weeks that were counted? Why is it called weeks? Because it says Shavuos is not designated by a day in the month. It's designated by counting 7 weeks from the second day of Pesach. Sphira. So he's saying, why would we count it? Halei Shavuos, we already counted Mekedim. V'yem HaChag, Ein B'minyan HaZayin Shavuos. And the day of the holiday is not in the count. It's not considered, it's not part of the count of the 7 weeks. It's the last, it's the day afterwards. 7 times 7 is 49, and on the 50th day. So why would we call the holiday by the name that it was, that name of counting which was already done beforehand? Like it says, you shall count. Mamachlus HaShabbos means on the morrow, not of Shabbos, but of Pesach. Sheva Shabbos is Tmimus Tiyena. Should be 7 complete weeks. Ad Mamachlus HaShabbos. 7 complete weeks. The Heina Memtes Yom Yom, that's the 49 days, Shah Sefim Kedim, that we count Kedim, the Chag HaShavuos, Yom HaChamishim. And Shavuos is the 50th day. So if that's the case, why is it called the holiday of weeks? The weeks were counted already. Yes, it led us to here. But now we're a day beyond that. And now, the minyan hazayin Shavuos nemar b'posuk sfatim b'simonim alzeh. In the counting of the 7 weeks, in the counting of the 7 weeks, it says in the verse, v'sfatim b'simonim alzeh. In this verse, v'sfatim, you shall count, says 2 signs. Memochus HaShabbos, from the morrow of Shabbos, which is like the morrow of Pesach, second day of Pesach. And there's a second sign, umiyem haviyechem es eimen atnufa. And from the day that you bring the wave offering. So eimen atnufa was an offering was brought on that second day of Pesach, on the first day of Pesach. So memochus HaShabbos, I'm sorry, the second day of Pesach. So second sign, besides saying it's the second day, from the day that they brought and they separated, the Emer was a measure, a certain measure of barley that was brought as an offering. So the Torah says 2 things, of the tomorrow, the day after Pesach, of the first day of Pesach, and the day when you bring the Omer. The Kan Kaden Pasuk Vasisach Hagshus Namah Shiva Shavuos Tispeloch. Mehechel Tar Chanmish Bekoma. And here before. Before the pasuk comes, it says, "You shall count 7 weeks from the beginning." Chamish bekomer, is what? Not when you actually bring the offering, but chamish bekomer when you will cut, you will harvest it. V'hainu b'shas k'tziras ha'emer, from the time of the cutting of the barley of the emer that will be brought as an offering. So what is the meaning that before he said by Svartim, he said that from the time when you bring the offering, and here he says from the time that you cut the omer for the offering. What's also the inyan of the same? Machel means from the beginning of chermesh bekomer, when the harvest will rise, will bekomer when you cut it. What is the meaning of these words? No, beforehand. Nothing. Right, but that period, Pesach is the time when they begin to cut and harvest. You also have to understand what the Rizal say, the time when Israel preceded Nasa, before Nishma, we will do, and then we will understand. The angels descended and bound for them, the weave for them, two crowns. And we have to understand in this? Don't we find that there are three crowns? Like the Mishnah says in Ovis, the Ovis, Gimel Ksarim, there are three crowns. Keser Teira, Keser Kuna, Keser Malchus. The crown of Teira, the crown of priesthood, and the crown of kingship. Why does it say the angels only bound for them, weave for them, two crowns? But Mishnah Dov is Gufet Tzarech Lavin, and also in the Mishnah itself we have to understand. Doesn't he count their four ksarim? Like it says afterwards, the commission of Achakach, like it says afterwards, the Keses Shemtiv Eilal Gaben, and the crown of the good name rises above the other three. So he should have said, Dalek Sarim Haim. So why didn't he say, there are four crowns? Like it says elsewhere, why does he say three crowns? It's interesting, this question here is also in the beginning of the Hemshah, began with exactly the same questions. So he's tying it together. It's all about Shavuos here. So it's all connected to the crowns, because he's talking about the crowns. I have to look up inside the pasuk. What exactly is the second pasuk about the counting of the cutting of the omer? You count 7 weeks from the counting of the omer, cutting of the omer. No, in general, it's from the time of the cutting.
It's the first day.
What?
Cutting omer is the first day of counting.
First day.
Yes. Before the Pesach. You say that.
But then it says you count from the day that you bring the offering.
Yeah.
So you bring it the same day you cut it?
I think
they cut it, that maybe that's it. They cut it and then they brought it. Yeah, okay, could be.
You weren't able to eat chodosh until they had to be the material.
Yeah. Okay. So basically it's the same day, cutting and the bringing. It's just the question is, why here it refers to cutting and here it refers to the bringing. That's basically the difference.
Mommy.
So now chapter 127. Now we have to understand what is it in of the three crowns, Keser Teira, Keser Kunda, and Keser Malchus. The three crowns of Torah, priesthood, and Malchus. The Indian of this is the Hine by Mavur, the Il Muvan. From what was explained earlier, it was understood the Klolus Am Shachas Vigilui Mein Sev Baruch Hu, that the general transmission, emissions, and revelations from the infinite Blessed Be He, Yesh Beis Mein Am Shachas. There are two types of transmissions, like he said also in the previous chapter. One is a transmission in an Ein Seif Mamash. Literally infinite, without any limits. And the second, a transmission, a second track, two tracks. One is an express track of infinite flow. Another one is a local track of finite flow. Now, key thing to remember, all this is not Atzmus. This is already, even Ein Seif here, which is a contradiction to Gvul, is actually all part of the same structure of existence. That's why you need a Tzimtzum. If it was only Atzmus, you wouldn't need a Tzimtzum. Because Atzmus is not a contradiction to our existence. Atzmus is not a contradiction to anything. Wherever Eir Ein Sof, like he says in Eitz Chaim, if it would just flow openly, there's no room for an independent entity. So the fascinating thing is that the infinite divine energy that doesn't allow room for existence is only here because of existence. Or else it wouldn't be a contradiction to existence. So there's two flows. Behine, and now, the transmission that comes in the form of Gvul Amida, Gvul meaning finite, and with parameters, Amida, and measurement, that's the Kav. That's the narrow, Kav literally means line, but Kav Achud, the line and the thread that we talk about after the Tzimtzum, talk about in the Eitz Chaim of a line and thread, like a teacher after concealing begins a flow. But the flow is a very measured flow. Think of like the example I keep giving, olive bays. It's a very narrow flow. It's a, think of it like a an instrument through which a lot of energy is traveling, but it's all in a very narrow.
Like a wire.
Yeah.
Electrical wire.
Like a pipe. Who a kav nimshach me'ein se baruch hu? It's the kav that is nimshach. Where is it rooted from? It's coming from the infinite energy. That's the ultimate root. Its actual root is the 10 hidden spheres, but the 10 hidden spheres is rooted from the Eir Ein Sof. So it's the energy that's flowing, that's measured and confined, according, commensurate to and tailored to the worlds in which it is, which is energizing and creating. And therefore an energy that comes in a defined and finite way. So for example, just to visualize this, when Hashem said by Matan Torah, and everyone heard, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, and everyone heard those words. He said, Anoichi, I am your God that took you out of Egypt. They heard words. They heard Gvul. Words that had letters, that had meaning. But who was saying it? A bleak Gvuldik of power was saying it. So the bleak vul of Elikus was confining himself in an instrument called Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, words. That's an example. Now when we speak, I'm giving an example. It's an example of something coming from an Ein Sof place, but being measured according to the, now, because if Hashem just spoke as on his own, it wouldn't be words. We wouldn't be able to even hear it. Here we have words that we can repeat. We can translate. Anoichi has four letters, Aleph, Nun, Chaf, Yud. You can write it, you can read it, you can explain it, you can study it. What is it essentially? It's energy, it's divine energy. But it's divine energy that's traveling in a tailored way. It's traveling like a pipe. The pipe, the energy inside the pipe may be very powerful, but the pipe is directing it and guiding it into this. It's keeping it contained in this particular measured flow. Now, as we learn, that energy also has in it a certain element of measure. But it's definitely rooted in its deepest place, it's rooted in the highest places. So there's really two sides to this energy. One side is that it's carrying divine energy. The other is that it's carrying in a way that we can relate to. That's what he's saying. That's Gvul Amida. Clear? You can give many, many examples for this, but that's one example. Remember, we spoke about letters. Letters themselves can be written letters. They can be engraved letters. They can be engraved through and through. And then there's beyond letters. The parchment itself. Anoichi Hashem Lekecha is already letters, but it's letters of light. It's letters of energy. It's letters of the divine. On the luchas, they were engraved. On parchment, they're written. When I say them now, they're tangible. The kefir etzeni is barach be'efin ishtalshlus shehi eser sfiris eser v'lei tesha eser v'lei echadach. So this instrument brings the energy in a measure and parameters according to the desire of God in the way He wanted ishtalshlus to be shaped. That there should be 10 spheres, 10 and not 9, 10 and not 11. So He wants exactly this amount. By the way, the Tarach Amudeir, when we said before, Keser has 620 pillars, the lower level of Keser that defines existence is the 620 letters. I'm sorry, the 620 letters in the Aseres HaDibros, right? It's made up of 620 letters, I believe.
Yeah.
It's also 613 mitzvahs and the Sam, the Rabbanon, and the mitzvahs, mitzvahs,
the Neach. Together.
V'sfiris elu, dafke, and not only 10 and not 9 and 10, not 11, but also specifically these spheres. Not just the number 10 and not 9, number 10 and not 11, but specifically these spheres. B'chinas Chabad, Chochma bin Adas, Chagas, Chesed Gvur Teferetz, Nehim, Netzach Hayde Seid Malchus. He's showing here how the desire of the artist is he wants these spheres. Kein nimde dakav. So therefore the kav, which is the instrument that God uses to create this structure, is nimded, also measured, gam kein b'medida zeis. It's also measured according to this measurement. Sheyesh bo gam kein eser sfiros elu, that it also has within it 10 spheres. Ki kol se'ir hazeh hu l'tzedecha elemis. Because the general energy, this energy in the kav, why is it there? Because it's an instrument for the tzedech elements, for the need of the worlds. The tzedech, the purpose of this is for the worlds. Because since it is what comes into measurement and confinement, that's only because of the worlds. Why else would energy be confined? It's not just that it can be confined, it's because there's purpose in it. In other words, take away God's intention that there should be a structured existence, there's no reason that a divine energy should be shaped. The reason for the shape is because it has a purpose, like in any situation. If I, for example, had a reservoir of infinite amount of water, and I have no purpose, I just let it flow. But since I wanted to reach your home, and I wanted to reach different places, it has to be channeled into your home, so you need pipes. You need limited pipes. So the whole purpose of Midah V'Gvul is not for just, it's not just for no reason. It is in order, L'tzedech Elemis. There's a purpose in it. V'lula ha'rotzen be'elemis ein ha'shayach klal ha'mshach ha'zeh. And lula ha'rotzen, without this desire in worlds, for worlds, in the worlds, ein ha'shayach klal ha'mshach ha'zeh. This transmission of energy is totally not necessary, not possible. So he's saying a very fascinating thing here. Now he said this actually earlier. You may recall he said this. Where was this? Let's say the Chaelimus. He said it back in. Let me just find it. It was very, very similar language. The Yenis, 1 second. Let me just see, because very similar language. I want to just compare it. far back. Yeah. He said it about in chapter 46 and 47. One second. He said an expression on page, if you go to page 80, you'll see it says very similar language. Yeah. He says. So therefore, yeah, in chapter 46 and 47, he says very similar idea. So therefore, so now.
About the Eirin Seif, right?
No, it's talking about the Eirin HaGvul.
That's even that he's mitzamtim to Gvul.
It's the second track. We're talking now the track where he decided that should be Hamshach b'Midah Gvul. Yeah. So since this whole energy is only one reason in order to create world, that's why according to the desire in the world and the shtasas, that's how there is an energy inside, there's a measurement inside the energy that it has within the 10 spheres. In other words, it's coming as a result of the desire for a structured existence. The keser. Remember we said the desire. A desire for a structured existence converts into an energy that is structured. Though, and without that, it wouldn't be structured. Yeah. The mezid zu hi ba'er hazeh b'tchilas hamshachase b'shashim mekeri. This measure, because this measurement is in the energy from the beginning and the root of its transmission and the root and its source. It doesn't assume structure. From the moment it leaves the source, it already has been now embedded with a code called 10 spheres.
Once it leaves the inside.
Hmm?
Once it leaves where? The inside?
Yeah. Yeah. Which means that the measurement and the confinement within the kav is not was innovated, was not something that was nischadish, was created something new in it through the tzimtzum. Now you could say like this, you know, the energy is energy, it's infinite. You put it into colored glasses, it looks colored. You put it through a tzimtzum, it assumes a finite nature. He says no. It was not something that came later. The core root, the whole reason there's this energy is because God wants to energize a structure. So the energy itself wouldn't exist without that. So this energy is from its root, has already embedded a code that would fit it into containers and so on. In the root, in the beginning of its transmission, it already has this medida, this measurement.
It's a hybrid between Eitzef and Gvul. Like,
why would you say that?
Because why would you need, if it's already embedded with that, why you need a tzimtzum? It's already cut, if it's already...
So there's a whole discussions on this. Because before the tzimtzum, there's other energy that's overwhelming this energy. That's why.
If it was just this, then Taki wouldn't need a tzimtzum.
Right. But you can't have just this, because there's other stuff going on. Yeah. He's going to say, summing up, this was discussed at length in chapters earlier. The tzimtzum is not in order to create the medida, it's to reveal the measurement. It's like a teacher prepares himself to teach to a student, but if he allows all those other ideas to overwhelm him, it won't happen. So he has to also do two things. He has to measure what he's going to say to the student, but he has to then also conceal the rest of his mind, his brilliance. So two things are happening here. And this is that what we're saying, that also in the root and source of this energy, the way it's before the tzimtzum, it also has within the 10 spheres. And what is this? These are the 10 hidden spheres in their emanator. And why they called concealed, hidden? Because they're hidden and concealed in the energy that is in the form of Ein Sof and Bli Gvul. And this is what the infinite energy estimated within himself to radiate in the form of midah v'gvul. That's the 10 hidden spheres, which we've discussed many times, the meaning of this. Achsham hema betachlis apshitus. However, there, this is a summary of a lot of the ideas that we've already learned. However, there, these spheres are hidden, they're tachlis apshitus, they're ultimately seamless and shapeless, legamri, completely. Shem b'chins mitzias nekeres klal. They're not any way recognizable, distinct existence. And they're completely there in a state of utter unity, as we learned all this earlier. And the kav, coming, which originates in the 10 hidden spheres. So in the root there are 10, but they're in a state of complete amorphous abstract state. So the actual transmission of the kav, that's through the concealment. The tzimtzum is aliyus sviras miyuchadus. The tzimtzum is not to create the concept of spheres, but for it to become distinguishable, you should actually see, not all included in one big soup, as I said, but distinguishable specifics, distinct spheres, that's the tzimtzum. Ukomeshu sviras hachochma tiyas sviras miyuchadus b'fiatzmeh. Like when we say sviras hachochma should be a separate sphere from the others. V'chein kol hasviras, and same with all the 10 spheres. And through this, meaning through the tzimtzum, that's when they become a distinguishable and distinct entity. So like, let's say Anochi Hashem Elokecha, going back to my example, the way it is before Hashem said it, a minute before he said it, where are these words? They're included in a place that we can't recognize. They're included in the divine infinite. Now he in his mind is already saying, I'm going to say Anochi. But if there's no tzimtzum, if he's not going to create any type of concealment, then we'll just hear the whole divine energy flow. You're not going to hear Anochi. It'll be drowned out. So two things are happening. He's envisioning he's going to say Anochi, and then he conceals the rest, so you should actually hear the words Anochi. Imagine Anochi coming out of the from the God's mouth, but also all the other sounds of existence come out. It would be drowned out. You wouldn't hear it. It'd be complete infinite energy, infinite sounds. So to have the limited, distinct letters, there needs to be, beside that he envisioned the distinction, an actual symptom that so-called silences the rest of the sound, so you can only hear this sound come out. Like when you hear, let's say, a child cry, as we've been hearing, or you hear somebody in pain, you say, speak to me, and they can't even speak because the energy of their cry is so intense. So there's no words. And then comes the tzimtzum, where the so-called intensity of the emotion is weakened, so then letters, words come out. Just giving examples for this. And nevertheless, even after this, that even then they come distinct entities, there's still energy. It's not containers. It's still blima. It's still without substance. It's distinct, but it's without substance. Like the Sefer Yetzirah writes, 10 spheres, blima, without substance. Because even as they are 10 spheres, they're still in a state of blima, just showing you, you know, another abstraction. But now it's 10, but it's still without substance. I've been explaining it in every class.
Maybe I'm starting to kick in.
So what should I tell you? When you look at a page, there's letters and there's an idea that the letters convey. The letters have substance, the idea doesn't have substance, relatively speaking. The letters are containers. And the idea is an idea, it's a distinct idea, but it doesn't have the same substance. If I didn't put the idea down in words, you wouldn't hear it, but the idea has a definition. 2 + 2 = 4. When I say the words, the letters that I just said are the containers. The idea behind it is the idea. The idea has less substance than the letters do. That's just a simple example. The truth is there are far more higher examples than what I just said, but that's on the simplest level. And there are thousands of such levels. Let me put it this way. This is what I've been explaining. There are thousands and thousands of levels where one person sees substance, another person sees something that's beyond substance. Does love have substance if you don't express it? So define what substance is. The material world, you see, we are gushim dikah human beings. The only thing we relate to is physical things we can touch. But most real things in life are not touchable. So relative to the material world, we say that's not substantial. Pay me in dollars, don't pay me with words. That's what's the way it's said, right? Why? because this world measures things in very, very grubba, material, defined terms. So here we're talking about energy, but the energy already is now 10, but it's still blima, still without substance. Because the kav is known that a line is made out of, the kav is made out of points. We learned this also, made out of points. That's what makes it a line. It's many points. In other words, it's not just a length, like a type of an extension that just drawing from higher to lower. It's actually made of nekudus. The kav is made of points. There are stepping stones here. There are points along the way. What are these points? Those are the specific spheres in the line, in the thread. The chol sphere b'chinas nekuda, and every sphere is in a form of a nekuda here, point. V'chol nekuda hari b'chinas pshita she'im b'tzir adayin. So every nekuda is still a point that doesn't have yet shape. When you look at a point, what does it look like? Just a dot. So you can't say it's not a dot. You can't say it's not distinct, but you cannot say yet what it's about. So when I start taking, let's say, talk about Noche Hashem Elokecha, I start writing an aleph, the first thing I'll make is a dot. And then I'll extend it and it'll become an aleph. So the dot is already no longer as the esoteric agnuzes as they're concealed before the tzimtzum, but there's no dot altogether. It's all in a very in that soup that I said, the infinite soup. Now you have a dot, but it's still a, so it's a distinct dot. But the dot itself is not yet developed. Now it's like a seed. So a seed, when there's the moment of conception, and a child is conceived, what is a how small is that conception? It's not even the thread of a hair, the strand of a hair. That's how small a child at the moment of conception is. And yet this will become the life that you know, who you are. So you already have, where's the biggest chiddush? Not from the here to where you are now, even though it's pretty miraculous, but it's from the nothing to the here. How did it become a conceived seed? How did the seed, was fertilized, a seed fertilized an egg, and a life begins to develop. So that's so you already have the kav. So without the tzimtzum, you don't even have the seed. The kav is like the seeds, 10 seeds. It's made out of points. So each point is already a distinct point, but it's only a pshitus. It's still a point without shape and form. See, that's another example of something that exists, but it doesn't yet have substance. It doesn't have any developed substance. I mean, substance in the sense is a point, but relatively speaking, it's still unshaped. Shein bo tziur adayin, it has no tziur. What does a point look like? The same point here. You know, let's say I was going to make now a noichi. I'd write dot, 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 dot. You have no idea what those dots include. In this, the first dot will become an aleph, the second dot will become a nun, the third will become a chaf, and the fourth will become a yud. The dot is the beginning of it, but it includes the potential, but it's not yet an actualization. Now, sometimes we find that nekuda, that a point is on the contrary. It's taken from mitzis b'yeser. It's the most intense state of being. Like in the spheres of Tayu, they were also points. A point is like a concentrated force. It's true, there's no development. But the concentration of energy in a point can be much more than in its expansion. Like we see in the spheres, that the sphere in Tayu, the spheres, the Nekudas, that's the Atzmis, the essence, the core of every sphere was there. The point, meaning the heart and soul of it. And they were. And they were then in a very increasingly intense state. That's when the nekuda, the point, comes already in containers. When the point comes into a container, it's in a very intense, very powerful, intense state. But if it's not any containers, the point then is in an amorphous state. It's unshaped. Like we see in Akudim. Akudim, the world before Akudim is Kasha Eser Eris Akudim B'Kleyachot. You have 10 energies bound in one container. There you only have one dot. One container and 10 energies. So you know there's 10, but you cannot recognize them because they're all such an, they're all included in a point. In a kudim, in toyu, you already see 10 points because there's already containers. So that there's intensity there. Here it's still in a state of energy, but it's already a point. It's after the tzimtzum. The Mishum Zeh B'yecholtum Li'ez B'kleyecha. That's why they can all be in one container. Ime Yesem Esa Eres. Even though there are 10 energies. Why? Because they're not in a state of shape. If they had 10 shapes, they couldn't be in one container. How could Chesed and Gvura and Teferes and Netzachayit all be in one container? It's because they're not yet in a shape form. They're not yet, they don't yet have substance. They're only conceptually conceptual energies. Like I said, they're dots that are not yet developed. They have not yet developed a shape and form. Like he says, but Koshkin Beit Akav, and for sure, surely so, certainly this is the case in the energy of the Kav, of the thread, of the line. Where there is no containers, the energies are there, but they're in a state of pshitas, a state of formlessness, shapelessness. And that itself is because that itself that they're in such a state is because the kav is only to reveal the concealed. Because the Takav, all it is to reveal what was concealed before the Tzimtzum. It's to reveal the 10 hidden spheres. Not like the spheres of Teyah that have an intention to be a Metzias, to be an existence. That has a very particular reason. And that's why there's a shape and form, like it says elsewhere. And that's why in Tayu, the energy does come in containers. Mashenken Bahakav. But in contrast, the kav hakavonu rak is galos asfiris me'alom desasfiris anglosis. Its intention is only to reveal the spheres that are concealed in the 10 hidden spheres. Valkein ein sham kelim, and that's why there's no containers. Maybe b'chinas pshitas, and they're in a state of shapelessness. And when the energy is manifest in containers, the atzilus of atzilus, nas b'chinas mitzias er, then they become a substance of er. You have an aleph, a nun, chof yud. In the example I gave, er b'chinas er achochme v'er achesed, the energy of chochme, the energy of chesed. So kav is like an intermediary place. The spheres have already now. There are spheres in there, but they're not of shape and form that we can define. But they're also not invisible completely as they are before the Tzimtzum, because they're completely immersed, submerged in the infinite light before the Tzimtzum.
Tayu doesn't bypass the whole Kav, it doesn't.
Tayu is lower than the Kav. Tayu is lower than the Kav. Yeah. We're going to stop here, and then we'll continue. Because we're going to then discuss it with an example. Okay, so he's really summing up, basically, before we can stop, summing up everything we've learned till now, and obviously to take it to the next level. He's essentially defined here that the Kav, which we learned already, is made of Nekudas, and that the Midah, the energy that is defined energy, all the way in its root is defined because it has a purpose. The purpose is to shape existence. But it doesn't just jump into existence. It's in stages. First, it's a Kav in a more abstract way. Then it takes on more shape and form. And as it continues to go, it becomes, till it finally manifests in a defined and energy. It's called Chachma Bina in Atzilus. So the Kav is this in-between state, which we've learned already. We've learned this in detail. I'm looking if there's anything new that he added here. There's a few points that may be here, nuances that are a bit new about the Nekuda, the intensity of the Nekuda. But essentially, he's summing up mostly what we've learned earlier about this track called Er HaGvul. Now we learned earlier this Er HaGvul goes all the way to the 10 hidden spheres. The 10 hidden spheres themselves are envisioned by the infinite energy that envisions and estimates what kind of existence he wants to create. But he's really bringing us back to speed, up to speed of where he was before, discussing the Rebbe Shah before, the whole structure of Gvul and Bligvul, to take it to the next, to the next Mesechta, the next level. So we'll stop here. We did the first half of chapter 127, page 245, and middle of 246.